welcome back. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from Absalom, the police state island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where the police are so nasty that you have to be a psychopath in order to get a job with them. And my very special guest, I'm just joking, by the way. I'm sure there's like two or three good cops that haven't quit yet.
And definitely not in West Auckland.
Oh, it's actually quite funny, isn't it, Paul? And we were talking over the break about just how traumatic it has been for you, and indeed, just reliving this experience makes your voice break. The words kind of fall out of your head. You know, the whole thing. You're showing all the signs of major trauma, and this is what people forget. Is that this is what police are capable of doing to people with impunity, major trauma. Okay, now, so let's say I walk into your house, ladies and gentlemen, and I drag you out of your house, kicking and screaming, throw you in a shipping container without food or water, hog-tied with your hands cuffed behind your back for 2 days and torture you with a cattle prod or something like that. How much would that damage you for the rest of your life? You would never be able to escape those memories. They leave a permanent imprint on you. It is not possible to get rid of them unless you get justice. And even then, you know what I'm saying? So
yes,
understand,
exactly,
this is the power the police have, and they can do it without getting any justice for themselves at the same time. That's what's really, really scary.
That's scary. If you can do such a thing and get away with it, that's really bad. That's really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's a systemic corruption at the New Zealand Police. And it really does need to be exposed, and I don't... They're afraid of the police losing people's respect. You've already lost everybody's respect. You know why you've lost everybody's respect, New Zealand police officers? Because you torture and murder and frame people. That's why people don't respect you, because you're murderers and torturers and scum.
And it's happening often. It's not happening like once a year. It's very often.
Mm-hmm. I hear stories about this all the time. That's why I get so upset about it. Because it's happened to me. It's happened to so many other people. Way, way worse than it's ever happened to me.
As I ask you, I have this ruling from the High Court. It was before Justice Christopher Kitt Holden Toogood. It was... You have to note that this ruling was not published on the Minister of Justice website, because this ruling made judgment on the 7th September 2011. So bear in mind, I was tortured in September, between September 8th until September 10th, from Saturday to Monday in 2007, and I was fighting for recognition of the fact that I was actually tortured for 4 years. And finally, in 2011, of course without any punishment for torturers, actually quite opposite, finally judge recognize and note that I was actually tortured. And I would like to quote what he said. First of all, he put in his judgment entire content of my grounds of appealing dismissal. So the grounds in paragraph 14, he said, the notice of appeal against conviction, Mr. Mishu, gives five grounds. A, the judge erred in facts and law in many findings he made. B, the judge took into account irrelevant matters and failed to take into account relevant factors. C, there was a total miscarriage of justice during the process and shocking in irregularities of proceedings. D. The decision was contrary with principles and basic achievements of human rights guaranteed in every democratic society and international law jurisprudence. And E. The courts kept a blind eye on acts of torture committed by the complainant. Because you have to remember that to have my case about torture finally before the court after 4 years, I ended up charged by my torturer. I approached him in Waitakere District Court. He was without his QID on his arm, as required by their own rules, and I asked him for his QID number or his name. He arrested me for doing that, and he charged me with disorderly behavior. But guess what? The judges found me guilty of threatening behavior. So the guy charged me with disorderly behavior because I was asking him for his QID because I recognized him as my perpetrator. And the judges found me guilty of intimidation because it's impossible in New Zealand to approach someone who tortured you while you were completely naked and ask him for his name.
Let me get this straight. The police officer felt intimidated. Yes. By a person who he stripped naked and tortured.
Yes.
He was so afraid. He was so deathly afraid.
Yes. That's exactly the point. And I got convicted and discharged for intimidating Constable Bruce Mailman, who changed his name. By the way, that's interesting. After I was trying to trace him, and he got the message that Mr. Mishuk was looking for him, he changed his name from Mailman to Wickman. And yet, in the courts, in front of the cameras, in front of the many watchers, I asked him for his QID or name. I even dialed 111 for assistance, and he took my mobile phone from my hand. He arrested me for disorderly behavior, and the judge found me guilty of intimidation instead of disorderly behavior.
How can they arrest you on a charge and then convict you of a different charge after the fact?
That's a very interesting question, and I have documents to prove it, but that was the case. You know what's funny, Vinny? He was filing charge three times, disorderly behavior. Every time he filed the charge, twice in Waitakere District Court and once in Auckland District Court, and every time he filed the charge of disorderly behavior, the judges were throwing out this charge and replacing it with intimidation. It's unbelievable. It was a ping-pong game between police and courts to find me guilty of something more serious. And they did.
So is intimidation more serious than disorderly behavior?
Yes. In the judge's eyes, yes.
Well, okay.
To find you guilty, you know, because cops has to be robust. So to find you guilty of some sort of disorderly behavior in courts, it sounds, you know, pretty much not credible. But intimidation, that's, you know, that's a different story.
So the first lie that they made up wasn't a big enough lie, so they made even bigger lie to make their other lie look not so bad in relationships so that they could get a conviction on you based on the lie.
That's exactly what they did.
Oh, God. Oh,
that's,
man.
Exactly what they did.
I am really sick of this, man. The fact that it doesn't just happen to isolated people here or there, the fact that it happens all the time, and it's covered up, that's probably the most distressing thing for me. And it gets to the point where how can anybody expect the police to help them in any case whatsoever? I know people who have been victims of burglary or assault or something like that, and they call the police to come and help them, and then the police wind up arresting them and convicting them. after torturing them and telling them to commit to, and telling them to admit to the crimes.
Vinny, I was a guy from not a Kiwi, you know. So the fascists, you have to try to think how fascists think. So the fascist mind works that way. Here we have a guy who is coming from Europe, Poland or Germany, and he's telling us, hey guys, you have these beautiful buildings here, you claim to have a justice here, you have all these beautiful lawyers and judges and courts and all this stuff, and justice please, you set up the beautiful system, may I have justice? And what they say to you? No, bastard, you are not one of us.
Yeah, justice is not for you, it's just for us.
Exactly. Go away, bastard. How dare you?
See, that's why they, I believe that's why they call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal.
Because it's criminal. Because it's criminal.
So, can we get down to brass tacks here? Okay, here's the illusion. The country is run by your legislators. Those legislators put in laws that are moral and ethical. They get passed down. The police then enforce said legislation on bad people. The bad people go before good, honest judges who convict them of their crimes based upon solid evidence, and they serve their time for community to the community. They then are rehabilitated, come out, and do not commit crimes. The exact opposite in every single case that I just stated there is the truth. Laws are not created by our legislators really at all. They actually mostly come from international bankers, corporate interests, so on and so forth, who finance said legislators, and in many cases actually write the legislation for them. So they pass them under urgency with no moral justification of any kind for it actually being passed under urgency. It then trickles down to the police, who then enforce unlawful activity on innocent people and then take those innocent people before corrupt judges who convict them of non-existent, bad crimes or whatever, have them serve prison time, they come out traumatized from this entire experience, and in a lot of cases go on to become criminals themselves because rehabilitation doesn't work.
That's how the system
truly works and operates. Anybody who says different doesn't know what they're talking about.
Vinny, you touched on a very important issue. There is no way, there is not a chance that you can write in a morals and ethics into law. That's the point. There is no way, no matter how you use words, no matter what kind of beautiful semantics, there is no way you can put ethics and moral into law. The issue is of certain people who should be right, there should be a right person at the right position. And we have, in New Zealand, we have completely out of their mind judges who are basically doing whatever they please. Vinny, can you imagine? I was taken to the private prison, Mount Eden, straight from the hearing before the Justice Winkelmann, completely crazy woman. Listen, I appear on the May 29th. I never forget the day. I went to the courtroom. She was sitting. She looked at me, and she just moved her head like this. Bang, twice. Two guys come to me and said, is it you, Mr. Mishuk? I said, yes. You're going with us. They brought me down the stairs in the high court. And I was taken to the private prison, Mount Eden. Listen to this. After 18 months, one of the prison officers came to me and said, Mr. Mishuk, do you know what habeas corpus is? I said, yes, I know. You know how to apply for it? I said, you know, I'm going to find out. I have friends. They're going to send me some information. He said, Mr. Mishuk, I just had a good look in your file, and there is no warrant for your detention. You've been taken here based on the photograph given to us by the police to confirm that you are the person which we were told to receive. Can you imagine that? And I have papers to prove that. And listen to this, Vinny. He told me that I'm placed in prison without lawful warrant. There is no document which says Mr. Michuk has to be remanded in custody by the High Court judge, Winkelmann. She didn't do that. She just moved her head like this and I was taken to prison. She just make a call perhaps to the prison manager, take him. He's going to give up after 2 or 3 weeks. He's a European. He just get bashed by the, you know, few fellows we put recently. And he just call us to take him back to Europe. But it didn't happen. After 18 months traveling back to prison and court and prison almost every day, I didn't give up. I was still waiting for the jury. So what they did? They give me hearing for the habeas corpus before the judge, Robert Dobson. And this guy is a complete psychopath. Look what he did, but intelligent psychopath. You know what he did? I thought, I'm going home. There is no warrant, habeas corpus. Simple as that. But look what he did. I went entered the courtroom and he said, Mr. Michuk, I believe I have jurisdiction. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to fix the administrative error that has been made by Chief Justice, by Chief High Court Judge Winkelmann. So he called the lack of lawful warrant that orders my placement in a custody as an administrative error. And you know what he did? He did something which, when I'm talking about this with lawyers here in Poland and in Germany, when I told them that he issued a retrospective and prospective warrant on one document, it's just blowing their minds. No lawyer in Europe ever heard about such a thing. First, law cannot work retrospectively. That's first. Second, it was the one document which says Mr. Michuk is lawfully remanded 18 months past and 7 days into future.
Well, hold on. We're coming to break now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about exposing scumbaggery and protesting outside the homes of judges, especially, incidentally, Justice Winkelmann is a notorious frickin' judge in this country. She's now been promoted since the time that she sent Paul to jail for absolutely no frickin' reason, without any warrant, of course. She's been promoted now to the Chief Justice, and she was the person who concealed the warrants that were ruled unlawful from the media, all right? There was a big terror raids that happened here where they arrested, I think, 9 people, and it turns out that 7 out of those 9 warrants that were issued were ruled unlawful. Judge Winkelmann sealed that judgment so that the public would not be able to find out about it. Okay, she's corrupt. It's just that simple. And we protested outside her home because she did a very similar thing to Vince Seymour, who exposed those warrants that she covered up, and she sent him to jail as well. So we have a video to play for you now. It's probably one of my favorite protest speeches of all time, actually, and it's not even that long. So AFR, could you please roll that audio there?
Thank you.
Any time would be good.
I've been an alternative
not
media
him?
Reporter.
Okay.
Scratch
that's
that.
Unfortunate.
I am the new media reporter because alternative
yeah.
sounds like a.
Well, I don't know.
Weird.
Maybe
like
there's some form
matter.
Of
like
corrupt judiciary, black magic voodoo
I'm
going on
media.
Here, you know?
Because
it's like we can't play
if
the
you're
video.
Not part of the new
no.
Media, you
no.
Are
no.
Very
we don't want you to expose us.
Here
we go.
Oh.
They are pathetic.
We didn't hear that feed come up there, AFR. Could you start the video again, please?
I have been an alternative media reporter. Scratch that. I am the new media reporter. Because alternative sounds like it, it's kind of weird, like it doesn't matter. Sort of like alternative medicine versus natural medicine. I am the new media. Because if you're not part of the new media, you are, by very definition, old and crusty. Media. They are pathetic for the amount of coverage that they give to incredibly important issues, such as Vince Seymour's plight. What I find very interesting about the media is that instead of interviewing these people and allowing them to speak for themselves in long form and explain the massive amount of details of corrupt scumbaggery, they instead summarize by leaving out about 99% of the details. And if they interview an activist at a protest who is on a megaphone of some description, they are in fact reduced not just to a soundbite, but something even smaller, referred to commonly as an audio nibble. As a result of these audio nibbles, nobody and their hunger for the truth will ever be sated. This is the reason why I have dedicated my life. This is the reason why I only slept for a couple of hours last night, and here I am again. At it again! Because corrupt scum, like Justice Winkleman, are the bane of the existence of all freedom-loving people in this country. Those who are honest, those who are decent, those who care for their fellow man and the integrity of their nation are indeed the targets of people like Justice Winkleman, because they are afraid. They are afraid to be exposed, and they freaking well should be. The death penalty is something reserved only for those who commit an act of treason in this nation. And I say it to you, Justice Winkleman, I believe, based on the evidence, that you are guilty of treason against the people of this country. And you should be tried, unlike the Uruwera people, by a jury of your peers.
Exactly.
And be hung from the neck until dead. Please listen to these words very carefully. Justice is coming for you. If you're in there, and you may not be, and who cares whether or not you are, because it's being recorded and people watch it on the internet anyway. Listen to the words of my voice. I will not bow to you. Your robes and your Masonic rings, if you've got them, are not sigils of power that I respect, nor will I obey. And nor will any other good, decent person in this country, so long as they exude the bravery, the diligence of Vince Seymour. He is a man with integrity. When you do not protect those within your society who have integrity from those within your society who have masses of unchecked power, there is very little reason for the country to not descend into tyranny, where the rule of law is ignored, where the awful is kept into lawful, where scumbaggery becomes the entire apparatus. Our police, our judges, our politicians are all complicit, whether by saying nothing against it or whether by being engaged directly within it. You are just as culpable if you helped to cover up corruption if you instead did it yourself. Please grow a conscience. That might not be possible, but please try anyway. getting justice for Vince might not be possible, but I'm going to try and do it anyway. Not because I think it's an easy fight, but because I believe in my heart that it is the right thing to do, and that to do any less would be spitting on the lives of my grandfather and all his friends that died at war, would be spitting on all of those who defend freedom and justice in this country today. The honest police officers, the honest judges, if there are any, and the honest, good, decent people. Thank you.
Well, all right, there we go.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's really, that fits perfectly.
I think it illustrates the fact that I really am out there supporting all the people who are getting fracked over by the system in the capacity that the media should be doing. And this is the reason why I ask for people's donations. This is the reason why I do it full time, is because there's nobody else freaking doing it, Paul. You know, not in this country anyway.
If I had someone like you fighting for me outside, I wouldn't be there for any longer than maybe 3 months, and I would have some justice.
See,
but there was no one.
And what happened to you happened before I was even aware of the grand scale of scumbaggery in this country. You know, I wish I had been there.
Yes, many people, many families destroyed, many people lives broken, businesses completely, you know, lost, and in the name of what? In the name of what? Because someone didn't like someone else's face, or he just stepped into the wrong crowd, or whatever reason, you know, to destroy someone else's life, dreams, like in my case, my entire dreams, my family, everything was destroyed, simply just walked on and spit on. In the name of what? What kind of crime I have committed? My lawyers, Yevgeny Orlov, he was shouting in a district court, "I'm asking you, Your Honor, if this man touched with his finger anyone in this country, the answer is not. Why this man should be in prison? I haven't put my finger or anyone on anyone. I was tortured. I was beaten. I was almost killed. I was dying in the Auckland hospital on an emergency unit declared status 1. It was actually the Russian doctor, when I wake up from coma, he told me that I'm blessed because they thought that I'm going to be a vegetable, you know. And I went through this. I never responded with any sort of violence against anyone. Yet I have reason in doing so, and I didn't.
I sent a really dark picture idea to my designer dude yesterday, and he says, "Man, that's really nasty. That's not like the lighter side of genocide at all." And I told him, "You're missing the point about the phrase 'the lighter side of genocide.' It's not so that we only look on the lighter side. It's so that we can indeed stick our heads in and bathe in the horror that truly exists, but still retain a sense of humor so that it does not drive us insane to do so. That's what the lighter side of genocide is about."
Yes.
Sense about finding the light in the dark, not refusing that the dark exists.
Yes. It's life-saving what we have, sense of humor. Without sense of humor, I wouldn't be speaking with you here right now, because I wouldn't survive it. Without seeing exactly the bright side of this genocide. The sense of humor, that's everything what we've got. And if you allow me, I just found and I send you a link, and if you can attach that to our video, it would be great. It's paragraph 10 from the ruling I just mentioned of Christopher Toogood. It was Auckland High Court. In case Nishuk versus New Zealand Police, number CRI 2011-40450, dated 7th September 2011, and I quote, "The defense centered around Constable Mailman's, as he then was,
because, as I told you, he changed his name in order not to be recognized, involvement with Mr. Mishuk at the police station in September 2007 as something which defense says should not have happened. The incident involved pepper spraying, beating, and unnecessary restraint and aggression against Mr. Mishuk, as described in detail by the evidence of Mr. Mishuk. There was also evidence from psychiatric liaison nurse who said that he found, when he arrived at the police station, Mr. Mishuk on the ground, essentially hogtied, with his hands and feet tied behind his back. The relevance for the defense was to show the extent of the treatment Mr. Mishuk endured throughout the series of abusive incidents, because there was a series, not one. That's why it amounted to torture, because if you smash someone once, it's a beating, it's assault. But if you smash someone repeatedly over the period of time, it's a torture. It's in order to destroy your spirit. So, coming back to the quote, the relevance for the defense was to show the extent of the treatment Mr. Mishuk endured throughout the series of abusive incidents, grossly excessive, amounting to torture, in that he had been held in that hogtied position for many hours in great pain while naked. And these are the words of the judge, because the evidence was undeniable. There was sworn evidence from the nurse, police nurse, who was called to the police station only because I was laying on the ground and they thought I may lost my conscience or something like that. So when he went down to check my pulse, I just read his name on his kilt. And there was a Carter. His name was Carter. And that's how I found him. And luckily, he was a decent man. And he confirmed that he found me in a cell where was a smell of the blood, mixture of blood, sweat, and urine, because I was hogtied behind my back, hands and feet together, with three completes of cuffs, and left like that, without access to toilet, without food and water, in blood, sweat, and urine. And this man who entered the cell, and I never forget his face. He's all like, his face was like, you know. So yeah, I got it. And what? And what? 2 weeks before I reached the Supreme Court of New Zealand. God damn this place. 2 weeks before the date I was given for hearing, the bastards came to take me and they flew me away from New Zealand. And the Supreme Court of New Zealand, having two pending cases of mine, they dismissed both of them based on one ground. Mr. Mishuk is no longer in New Zealand.
Because we deported him.
Exactly. I have two pending cases which could change my life completely. They could give me justice. They could give me my property back. They could give me everything. So in order to avoid it, they just take me out. And what the judges said, oh, where is our appellant? No, they say, oh, there is no case because there is no appellant.
You know, you either laugh or you cry, ultimately. That's the choice we have to make sometimes. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Final segment with Paul coming up.
Thank you.
Pensiero, sempre amabile, leggero.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the most operatic 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the listener-supported broadcast that does around 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 4 days a week at 9 o'clock on the Rush FM network. You can listen to that in like Raglan, Taupo, Tauranga, Ngā Maunganui, and Hamilton and Auckland now. So if you go to rushfm.co.nz Monday through Thursday, you'll be able to get all the frequencies through that at 9 o'clock. So please listen in to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and please, for the love of Norwegian cheese, go to my website and subscribe for a couple of dollars a month, okay? I expose scumbaggery all the time. I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning last night exposing scumbaggery, all right? You couldn't pay somebody to work these kind of hours, all right? All I want is enough money to pay my rent so that I can continue to expose scumbaggery. Okay? I'm not asking for that much, and I am doing a hell of a lot. Please, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, isn't go ahead, make my news. And that's precisely what I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. You know, it really pisses me off, Paul, because the media in this country are too freaking cowardly to do what I'm doing all by myself. You know? That's what really F's me off. They're too afraid to lose their Gucci handbags and the next trip to Tahiti. That's basically it. They prefer to be a bird in a gilded cage than be able to spread their wings and fly free.
If that there was no Campbell, I don't think there was we can call any media in New Zealand. You know, John Campbell is perhaps the only guy who is trying to expose a little bit.
But, you know, and see, even then, I don't believe in doing something half-assed. I don't believe about, you know, just, he's not pushing the envelope.
Exactly. But he's trying. I think he's a...
As Yoda said, no, try not, do or do not, there is no try.
Exactly.
So he's except in rugby.
He's struggling within himself. I can bet on that. He's struggling with.
Well, we interviewed him on Queen Street about 9/11, and he goes, "Oh, I've been a journalist for 20 years, and the idea that the CIA could pull off an intelligence operation is just—they're just not capable of it. They're just not capable." He does like a 10-year 9/11 anniversary. Doesn't show Building 7. He's just like all the other media. He'll bark exactly what he's told to bark out, and he'll only go to a certain parameter, and at the end of the day, he's a freaking gatekeeper, and I've got no respect for gatekeepers, man. That's why I jump over the fence.
Vinnie, what do you expect? Even in America, if that wasn't for Jesse Ventura, who would ever heard about Building 7? He was the guy who went on in public, ex-governor of I don't remember,
Minnesota.
Think it's Minnesota, yeah. And he said, hey guys, something is wrong here. We have a TV presenter who is reading transcript that Building 7 is down and he's standing right behind her. So...
See, that's what I call pushing the envelope.
Yep, and he was the only guy who did that. He was the only guy who did that.
Well, there was no one else. Guys, anyway. But what I found is interesting is that once you do push the envelope like that in a very public way, what it does is it emboldens others to stand up as well. It's like in a crowd of people where you've got a lying politician who's a scumbag, and everybody in the crowd thinks he's a lying scumbag, but they're too respectful to stand up and say, "Oi! You're a lying scumbag!" One person does stand up, and he says, "Oi, you're a lying scumbag!" Suddenly everybody starts standing up, and before you know it, the lying scumbag is booed off stage, you know?
Yep.
This is the thing. Revolutions are usually sparked by one person, very small amount of people, and that is the reason, I think, why the police and judges and so on persecute specified individuals, because they know that if they don't really destroy those individuals, that those individuals will become emboldened, won't be afraid of them, and will come out swinging and freaking expose them.
That's exactly. That you put it beautifully. Vinny, Can you imagine? I am the one person, one guy who they didn't manage to break. They take, it take six people to take me out of New Zealand. No one has ever in history of this country been deported or taken out of the country like I was without, just let alone documents or whatever. I was taken with escort of, including me, six people. And I wasn't terrorist. I was just a guy. I wasn't even criminal. I never laid my finger on anyone. Can you imagine? It was the plane. Thailand Airlines take me from Auckland Airport when I was taken straight through the gates like John Key without passport check, without immigration check, without nothing. The plane was already waiting for me, only for me. The people went on the plane, and plane was waiting for me. They take me violently on the plane. They put me on the seat. They put the belt on me, cuff me in the plane. We landed in the Bangkok. In the Bangkok, they said to the cops that I'm terrorism suspect. They give me armed guards, two Thai armed guards. And from Bangkok, they transfer me to Frankfurt in Germany, a mine. Can you imagine that?
I don't need to. Do I? Because it's not something I can imagine. Because it's reality. And I think that this is what people are really... the reason why people are so afraid, Paul, is because they're afraid of just dealing with reality. You know, it's harsh and it's scary. And that's why they choose not to deal with it.
If we don't deal with reality, we're going to live in complete chaos. It's going to take us over. It's going to take us over. Simple as that. And we're going to have and we don't going to have a change which is normal, which is a transformation. We're going to have violent bloodshed revolution, and that's the last thing I would want for my children and myself in this world. But these people, these psychopaths and sociopaths, they just don't get it. That every single time they cause such suffering, the feeling of injustice, the feeling of persecution, the feeling of exclusion of from the society, they cause, not the crime someone commits, but they cause, without reason, it's creating butterfly effect.
Mm. Now, you have one last quote that you wanted to read out for us?
Yeah. That's the quote regarding the lack of warrant, and it was quoted from the ruling in the Auckland High Court by Justice, so-called Justice, of course, David Edwin Wiley, in case in paragraph 45, he said, quote, in Mishuk versus superintendent of a penal institution, Mr. Mishuk's bail was revoked following a bail appeal in this court. The requirements of the Section 44 of the Bail Act 2000, which says if you place someone in custody, there must be sign warrant for the placement in custody by the High Court judge. There was none. And he said exactly that. Were not, however, complied with, and no warrant for Mr. Mishuk's detention in custody was issued. Mr. Mishuk saw habeas corpus. In the High Court, Robert Dobson, Crook, considered that he could correct the administrative error, and he issued a retrospective warrant. Dobson's decision was upheld by a court of appeal, and it was another Crook, so-called Justice Renderson, which basically dismissed my habeas corpus appeal, saying that it's all good.
That sounds more like Justice Rendition than Renderson.
Rendition, yeah. I call him When I was speaking with him in the Court of Appeal, I told him that I'm sick of your Randersonization of my life. But he didn't like it.
Well, of course not. You know, liars don't like truth because it undermines their scumbaggery.
Yeah. He basically, Randerson created something which I call Randersonization of my life, which is destruction.
Yeah.
He was bound to serve justice. No warrant, habeas corpus. Simple as that. Ever since habeas corpus existed, no warrant for detention, no detention. Simple as that. In my case, they issue retrospective warrant.
Yeah.
And they keep me in custody.
Well, Paul,
and even worse. Yep. Just when I ended up.
Time. Quickly, go, quickly finish it.
I ended, after habeas corpus, I ended up in Paramoremo prison where legally I shouldn't be in the first place. Paramoremo prison.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed this interview as much as I have. I wouldn't say enjoy is the right word, but I certainly appreciate you coming out and telling your story on this, Paul, because it does give a really important insight as to what actually happens in the New Zealand police. And hopefully, maybe a few people listening to this broadcast right now will have either... might be able to avoid such things happening to them because they are now aware that it can happen. That's the thing about scumbaggery. If you're aware of it, often it can't touch you because you can hit it off at the pass. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll see you again sometime. If we can save one person, it was worth it. Thank you.